Welcome to Books in the Biz, the show where real-world business meets real-world results. Hosted by business strategist Dan Paulson and veteran CFO Richard Beltry, this podcast breaks down the stories, trends, and financial insights shaping today's companies. Dan brings decades of experience helping leaders simplify operations, build strong cultures, and scale with confidence. Rich adds his deep financial expertise from guiding organizations across healthcare, construction, logistics, and professional services. Together, they dig into what's really happening behind the numbers and what it means for owners, executives, and anyone trying to grow a stronger, smarter business. This is practical conversation, real talk, and tools you can use right now. Welcome to Books in the Biz.
Hello, welcome back to Books in the Biz. Rich, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Dan, how are you?
I am doing wonderfully. Of course, I don't have to deal with taxes, so my life other than paying taxes is perfectly fine. However, you are probably doing a little bit of PTSD now that tax season is over for 2025 and now only have to deal with the upcoming deferments that are out there.
Yeah, we have plenty of those. We have a very large number of deferments. I like deferments better than extensions.
I thought you might. But I thought, you know, it seems like each year we kind of do this. We do a debrief after tax season and what you need to look for next year. I think something that's a little bit different this go around is the big, beautiful bill supposedly had a bunch of tax savings for business owners in it, for also employees, no taxes on tips and all that fun stuff. I would be very curious now that you've kind of gone through the first round of stuff. What have you seen that's been different this year versus previous tax season? And maybe, you know, now looking at through a CFO lens, how should companies prepare for 2026 as far as, you know, what changes happened and how those changes are going to really impact the next year?
I think that the people who are, you know, working jobs, get W-2s, I didn't see as much of an impact, except for the fact that the state and local tax deduction going from a maximum of 10 to a maximum of 40, you know, helped 80% of the people because there's still a dollar cap on how much you can make before it goes back and says, well, you're, guess what? You made too much money. You're still under the old $10,000 rule. So had a few people hit that. But that was probably the biggest impact for anyone else, because now your itemized deductions are more in reach. You know, that had a real big impact because I'm in the Northeast. Our taxes tend to be highest anywhere. I mean, you look at the top, you look at the top taxed states in the country, and you're going to come up with at least New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey.
Yes.
I think New Jersey's like number one now. So glad to be a Jerseyan. Anyway, so I think those were probably the things that I saw the most on the people who had jobs and get a W-2. The, you know, I didn't see a lot of who benefited from the no tax on tips or from, you know, anything of that nature that, you know, was limiting for those types of people. My clientele's a little different, more business owner, and that doesn't really put them in the tip category.
Right.
So I didn't see as much of that. When you get into the business owners, the things that I saw the most were, you know, the benefit from the permanency of the 100% bonus depreciation. So if you were not doing any planning and all of a sudden last year you had to buy a big piece of equipment for $100,000 or, you know, $200,000, we wrote that off in year one, like, because it became permanent. It wasn't decreasing like it was in 2024 2024 tax year.
Yep.
So all of a sudden you looked up and you're like, wait a minute, my taxes went way down from last year. You know, what happened? And if you've done your tax return early, you got estimates based on pre-law. So you made estimated payments that were way high. All of a sudden you're getting a big refund and you're going, where'd that come from? So it was a little bit of a, call it a jumble, right? Because the tax bill was enacted on July 4th. So then it took a while before they actually implemented it into anybody's software. So even once you got to September, October, your software may not have looked at the 2024 tax year under the new tax law.
Mm.
So how did it calculate out what you made in estimated payments for the rest of 2025? And when you got into 2026 and you're going through the tax season, you know, people are getting more and more surprised that they're getting a good answer. I don't know that it'll be any better next year, because now it just becomes just next year will just be like this year. That's it.
Sure.
So it'll smooth out and you won't, you know, we'll go back to how come I didn't get a bigger refund? Well, you know, I think to a certain extent you got a bigger refund because of the law. To a certain extent you got the refund because you overpaid under the old law. And then, you know, I'm trying to think of what else was a benefit for the business owner. These were the big ones that I noticed. I think some of the business owners really who had previously made pass-through entity tax elections where they were taking the deduction for paying those big state taxes,
mm-hmm.
they still had to stick with that because they're locked in.
Right.
So another, when they made that election, it was binding. So I have two guys in Connecticut. I can't get out of the election. Like, I just, it says it's binding. You're, you know, once you make the election, you're not backing out next year. And I want to back out the next year. And I can't do it. So those are the types of things I think came across the most.
Sure.
And then I think, you know, it just took longer.
Mm-hmm.
Every return took longer to get done. Every return took longer to make sure that everything got in place. And I think most people expected us to be able to do it in the same fashion we did last year. So, hey, what do you mean? I dropped it off on April 14th. Why isn't it done on the 15th?
Surprise, surprise, right?
I don't know. All 50 of you can't get done by tomorrow. So, you know, it's the way it is. But those are the things I think I really mentally noticed, that this was consistent from client to client.
Got it. So here's my curiosity. So as you pointed out, last year was kind of a half year thing. So many people got a larger return because, again, they were on the old laws and the laws changed. And now that led to a bigger refund. As you point out, they will quickly forget about that and next year will come along and now you're the bad guy because you can't get them as much money as you got them the previous year, because of course they'll only remember the number that they got back. How can companies, with these new laws, now that you're going to have a full year in 2026, what should they be looking at to maybe prepare better? So maybe they don't get as big of a refund, but they can at least manage that refund or minimize that tax burden going into next year.
Well, I think my pitch to everyone is always plan early and don't wait till April. So, I'm saying that wrong. I'm saying it so it almost sounds like a joke, and I'm not trying to make a joke.
Sure.
You should be doing exactly what you're asking people to do right now. You should be talking about 2026 now.
Yep.
What is your thought pattern? You know your business. You know what you're going to be able to accomplish for the rest of 2026, or at least within a range. Okay. If that's the case, what can you do to have taxes help you grow into 2027? Okay. We talked about the bonus depreciation. That means that if you buy $1 million piece of equipment, I think that's still within the limit. If you buy $1 million worth of equipment, you can write it off in year one. So here's the thing. Even if you're financing that equipment, the $1 million comes off year one.
Yeah. And that's dollar for dollar, correct?
That is not dollar for dollar. It's a $1 million deduction. It's not a credit. It's a deduction. So, but in most cases, you know, you buy a piece of equipment. If you were under the old rules, it's 5 or 7 years. It's easily.
Right.
Right. 39 years for a building. That's not included in this 179 or bonus. It's just, you know, you got to get the rules down on what you're going to use. But if those rules help you out, and that means that you can get that equipment and it starts producing money and you don't have to actually wait for the write-off. You got zero basis equipment causing you a bigger windfall in cash.
Yep.
So there's plotting. I don't want to say plotting and scheming, but there's plotting that has to be done here. You can plot out your chart for the rest of 2026, knowing that in 2027, you're going to file a tax return and say, that was really good. And you may want to do it again because that law is permanent. It's not one of these, hey, it's going to sunset in 2 years, do it now. It's written into the law to be permanent. It can be reversed, but that takes an act of Congress, and we know how that works.
Right, exactly.
You'll hear about it a year and a half before they ever do anything, and then they'll claim victory, but it took forever. So I would tell people, you know, start thinking about future as opposed to constantly being reactive. We always talk about, you know, proactive versus reactive. You know, be proactive now. And this is a guy who has no sleep, like, through April. I was up at 12 o'clock doing my last work. Like,
right.
I'm telling you, this is clear. Work on 226 now. Don't wait until, oh, it's December. You know, it's December 20th. What can I do in the next 10 days? Why? It doesn't help you. At least at a high level, have the conversation now. And that way you can make things very, very smooth. And then when you walk in and do your tax return next year, it's easy. It's not a stress. It's not a, gee, I wonder what the number's coming out to be. You can know roughly what your number is. You can basically say, my business is going to do X. I'm going to buy this piece of equipment. It's going to be written off. And I'm not going to have to pay any taxes. So why is the tax burden a problem? Right?
Right.
You know, it's just a filing requirement. It should just be a paper requirement. It should not be, I let everything go and now I don't have the money and I have to pay. I've heard that before, and I'm trying to tell people, don't do that anymore. Flip the script. Flip the script on yourself and basically make it a plan instead of a nuisance. And you know you have to do it. You don't have a choice, you know, so you're going to do it anyway. Do it ahead of time and say, this is out of my hair now.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it makes it an easier pill to swallow if you can take it in bite-sized chunks versus wait till the end of the year and all of a sudden you owe tens of thousands of dollars that you hadn't planned on. And to your point, you know, now people are asking, well, where am I going to get that money? There isn't that. I know you say I made all this money, but there isn't that money in my bank account. Back to, again, there's what's in your checking book, and there's also what's on paper, and those two often don't match. No. I am curious about something, though. So you were talking about equipment getting the 100% deduction. I also thought there was something related to buildings where you could write off the full value of that building or that addition with 100% deduction. Is that still out there, too?
As far as I know, it's still out there, but I haven't seen anyone take advantage of that one.
Mm.
I'm really waiting to see that someone takes advantage of the fact that there is a new category of equipment or a new category of facility that, as long as it's built for technology, manufacturing, I believe those types of things,
yep.
It has to be something that was, there was a schedule to it, I think, but I believe we're still in the schedule. It's just a matter of, my guess is, I'm not hearing a lot about it because anybody who is taking advantage of it, those things don't move very fast.
Correct. Yep.
And so I'm thinking that all of a sudden I'm going to hear, here's all these people that started the conversation in 2025. And mm-hmm. now, you know, it'll be 2027. And all of a sudden all these buildings are going to pop up and people are going to say, well, you know, we were able to get the write-off. Why not?
Yep.
So I don't have a lot of news for you on that one, but I didn't hear anything that nobody's, you know, I didn't hear anything that it was taken away.
Right. Yeah. Well, and as you pointed out, you know, a building typically is a higher investment there's a lot more complexity to it from financing, unless you're going to pay cash for this thing. There's permitting issues, which depending upon your locality could be either really, really simple or really, really complex. Yeah. Rich, you're on the East Coast. I'm guessing it's really complex, and it takes a multitude of years to get approval to build something, especially if you're in a larger city. Uh-huh. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if at the end of 26, we start seeing some trickling in of different buildings now getting that 100% deduction.
Yeah. I'm very interested. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful because I like that one. Yeah. I really did think that was a kick in the right direction for what the overall bill was attempting to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still hopeful that I'm going to see a lot of people utilize that part of the law.
Yeah. So outside of the 100% deductions in those two categories, are there any other major changes from a business perspective that you see that companies should be watching for that either will raise or lower your potential tax burden?
Those were the big ones. I don't go too far into the changes in the rates or the, you know, earned income credit and the child tax credit and all that stuff. My client base tends to be either before the kids or after the kids. I don't have too many that actually have the kids in the middle. So I didn't see a lot, but you know, there's clearly planning that can be done. There are clearly things that for the small business, you still have the thing, you can go right back to the same old things that were there before, the Augusta rule and the getting all these things placed that, allow you to take advantage of, how you utilize what you already have.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Having the right entity structure makes sense. You know, have conversations. If you were hemming and hawing before, keep doing it. You know, I was going to be an S corp. Now I'm an LLC. I don't know if that's the right answer. Keep asking because it could change at any point in time.
Yep.
And once it becomes relatively consistent, it's time to make the switch.
Yep.
But it's always those kind of things, but I don't see anything new that hasn't been, that hasn't popped up and said, hey, this is the real effect of the Big Beautiful Bill. I don't have anything else that's, that really stood out.
Got it. Yeah. I was kind of curious about that because, of course, yesterday being tax day, at least at the time of this recording, there was a lot of press talk, at least from the presidential side, of all the money that was being saved and all the refunds that were being offered. So I do think they are taking advantage of the fact that, people overpaid last year based off the old tax laws. And then with the change mid-year, it definitely boosted the look, we'll say. Now the question is, will that process continue as we move into a full year where it's going to be under the new tax laws versus the old ones? And will it really improve all that much?
I did see a few people take advantage of the Trump account, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
So because they're not out yet, but you could register for it through your tax return. So I did have a few people sign up for Trump accounts. Yeah. So, I was happy about that. Good for you.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I qualify anywhere, so I can't get one.
I'm in your boat. I'm out of that picture.
Yeah. And for me, I'm about 55 years past it, and my kids are even past it. So that's okay.
Exactly. I think you covered a lot here in a relatively short period of time. I don't think we need to dwell on it much further. The key issue here is, again, from a business standpoint, think early, think often. Don't wait till the last minute. This is the broken record. I think this is now our fourth tax season doing this, and we seem to say the same thing here, but
yeah.
Probably more so now than ever. You need to be prepared for this stuff, and that's where having not looking at it from a tax perspective, but really kind of back to what you do, the CFO side of things, mm-hmm. being strategic, being forward looking is going to be a lot more critical to making sure that you keep as much money in your pocket as you can. So legally minimizing your tax burden as much as possible, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that goes back to the 20 questions. So we've kind of harped on this the last couple of weeks. We do this 20 questions thing. We take about an hour of your time and we can kind of break down maybe some issues or concerns that you need to look at, also some opportunities. And I would encourage people to contact us to sign up for that. It's relatively low cost and can provide a lot of value. Rich, how do they contact you if that is something that they might be interested in?
Best way to reach me is by email at rich@xcxo.net.
Great. And you can contact me in a much similar fashion at dan@xcxo.net. Rich, great information. It sounds like we're going to be talking about HR next week. We've got a guest coming on, and that should be fun. We should learn a lot of new stuff on the HR front. We don't have to talk a lot. We just get to ask a bunch of questions. Even
Absolutely.
Better.
I like that.
There you go. All right. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. You too.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to Books and the Biz. If today's conversation sparked new ideas for your company, the team at XCXO can help you turn those ideas into action. XCXO brings together seasoned executives, fractional CEOs, COOs, CFOs, and CXOs, who step into your business with the experience, strategy, and leadership to drive real results. Whether you're trying to scale, strengthen operations, improve profitability, or prepare for transition, our experts help you move faster and lead with confidence. To learn more or start a conversation, visit xcxo.net. That's xcxo.net, your shortcut to stronger leadership and a better run business. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time on Books and the Biz.